Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. We'll reset. Come watch us during the week. Fox Business Network. The name of the show is Kudlow, 4 to 5 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. If you can't make it at 4, text your favorite 9-year-old, and she will show you how to DVR the show. And right here, you can listen to us on the internet, live streaming, LarryKudlowShow.com, LarryKudlowShow.com, across the country, around the world, throughout the solar system, and the Milky Way. And it's time to do some stock market work. It's a very boring week. I mean, the stock market was extremely boring. Let's see. The Dow is off 85 points, 33,801. NASDAQ down 43. S&P 500 down 8 points, 4129.30. Interest rates, what did interest rates do? Interest rates went up a little bit. The 10-year note is 356, call it 3.5. The 3-month T-bill, I don't think them. Talking to John Carney of Breitbart Business a couple of minutes ago, I don't know what the bond market's thinking, but the Fed's going to tighten. They're going to tighten several more times before this game is over. Anyway, let's talk to our distinguished experts. We have the great Stephanie Link, Chief Investment Strategist, Hightower Advisors, and Head of Investment Solutions, and my pal Ken Polcari, Managing Partner at Case Capital Advisors and Chief Market Strategist at Slate Stone Wealth. Kenny, are those two separate companies?
Yes, they are. One's the Slate Stone Wealth is the RIA, and Case Capital is my consulting business.
Oh, I got it. And Stephanie, Hightower Advisors is different than Investment Solutions.
Yes, Hightower Advisors is the independent wealth management firm, and Investment Solutions is actually a miniature, and not so miniature, because we run $3.5 billion in assets under management. Whoa. We are the outside manager for any advisor that wants to put money with us.
Oh, good for you. Well, I'd put money in. I don't have any money. I'm an impoverished broadcaster. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Steph, kick us off. It was a boring week. Yeah. But I do want to get both of your opinions, because there's no question the Fed is going to keep tightening. Now, they'll do quarters, but you've got all these Fed people signaling. John Williams, the head of the New York Fed, that's a big position. Christopher Waller, who was a board member. Jim Bullard from the St. Louis Fed. Lorraine Mester from the Cleveland Fed. And I was particularly interested, and I spoke to John Carney about this in Breitbart. John Williams, who's a key guy and a smart man, he said, okay, the inflation rate is going to be 3.5% by the end of the year. But, he said that's still too high. And then, so to me, that tells me this one-and-done argument that I hear from Wall Street is not right, that unless, you know, you get the inflation, and they're going to stay with the 2% target, and they're going to have to go. I mean, I think they're going to have to go up to 6% on the funds rate, Stephanie. But I don't know. What are you thinking? I want to get you both on this because, you know, the bond market is not discounting this kind of Fed tightening.
Yeah, so it's inflation. That's at the end of the day, that's what they're focused on, and they can focus on that because we have such low unemployment. We have such a strong job market. We can talk about the job market in terms of initial claims starting to reverse the trends we've seen, but in the meantime, we still have a very tight labor market. We have wages that are running up 7%. We have switch rates on wages. If you switch a job, you can get 15%. So very strong wage numbers. And then I look at the numbers like you guys do, right? Like you and Kenny do. Inflation, 5% headline CPI, core 5.6, core ex shelter 5.8. So these numbers are still way too high. And the Fed is going to continue on their path to, I don't know if it's 6, Larry. I mean, maybe they just get to 5, 5.25 and they just wait and they pause and they see, because we have a lot of cross currents in the economy, right? I mean, this week alone was so strange. We had a great Empire Fed number, and then we had a horrible Philly Fed manufacturing number. We had actually better housing data, but yet housing still is in a recession. Manufacturing still, new orders are coming down. So we have a lot of cross currents. I would say at the end of the day, Fed's going to keep doing their thing. I'm hoping it's five and a quarter. Then they stay, they pause, and then they see. But the biggest thing is there's still too much momentum in the economy. I mean, look at the Atlanta Fed GDP now number at 2.5% for GDP for the quarter. So they can do, and they're going to do, and then we're going to have to see what the repercussions are based on what they have done.
Kenny, what are you thinking here?
So I've been in the camp, like Stephanie, that they're going to go one more time and get us to 5.25 was what I have been thinking. PPI last week or 2 week and a half ago when it came out, that was significantly lower than I think what the projections were. This week's PCE that's coming is supposed to be go from 5% down to 4.1 on the top line, although the core number is supposed to remain at 4.5, just below last month. So it's going to be interesting to see if that prompts them to suggest that they need to go one more time in June, because if they do, then that gets us to 5.25, 5.5, which is closer to where Jimmy Bullard, Neil Kashkari, Loretta Mester, because like you said, they're all pushing for, you know, the 5.5, 5.75, maybe even 6 range. Mm-hmm. Although I'm in the camp that they were going to get it to 5.25 and leave it. And I'm going to stay in that camp until I see what happens this week, like with the PCE, right? I think that they've done enough up to this point and they're willing to say, let us just pause, not pivot at all. And I don't think there's going to be a pivot at all this year, the way the market seems to think there's going to be a 75 basis point cut by Christmas. I don't think that's happening at all. But I could see them pausing and just holding.
But remember, I go back to John Williams of the New York Fed, who's a very smart guy. I mean, he's an econometrician. He's kind of a conservative Keynesian. He's not a supply-sider. Waller's more of a supply-sider and Bullard, too. But putting all that stuff aside, what he said to the money marketeers, which is a venerable old group here in New York City, and all the bond guys go to it. I used to go to it. And then later on, I spoke to it. But the point is, he said that the PCE deflator would be about 3.5%, 3.5% by the end of the year. But, big but, capital B but, that's still too high.
I
thought that was a very important signal from the vice chairman of the Federal Open Market Committee that, they're going to keep that 2% target. And it's going to be real hard, with the numbers you both cited. I mean, Stephanie is right that I don't know if, the Atlanta Fed's GDP tracker is 2.5%. They get, they're good ballpark. They've had a pretty decent record. That doesn't, with the 3.5% unemployment rate, the way the Fed looks at the world, I think they're going to go higher, man. John Taylor, smart guy from Stanford, author of the Taylor Rule. I had John Taylor on the TV show, I don't know, a couple, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. He said 6%, kids. 6%. Yeah. And I don't know if that's right or not. I'm just saying. But, that nothing here. Let me put it too differently. I don't think 5.25 or 5.5 is in the bond market. And if it's not in the bond market, it's not in the stock market.
Right. Well, I would agree with you.
I'm sorry, Kenny. But there's like a 60% change. There's a 60% read through that by the end of the year, the Fed actually starts to ease, which I think is crazy. I actually do. There's no way that the Fed just spent a year in combating inflation and all this stuff to all of a sudden, whatever that number is, Larry, is it 5? Is it 6? But they're not going to all of a sudden get there and then say, okay, now we're going to actually reverse course. I just not even if numbers come down to where they want them to be. I think they're going to stay there stubbornly high. And that is why the market, in my opinion, is kind of in this trading range, because we're all trying to like circle the wagons and figure out what the heck is going to happen. In the meantime, you said it was a boring week, and it was. But guess what? earnings have started. 17% of the S&P 500 have reported. And by the way, 76% have beaten by 5% or more. Hmm. And it's been a margin story, which everyone says, and Kenny, I'd love your opinion. Margins, everyone thinks they're going to collapse, but they haven't. Hmm. And guess why? Because as we're talking about inflation being high, it's still down from such serious levels a year ago. And supply chains are easing. And the labor market is getting a little bit better. And oh, by the way, we know U.S. corporations restructure, cost cut, and do whatever it takes so that they can make that bottom line. Hmm. And so I just kind of feel like it's not all gloom and doom. It's just a trading range, volatile kind of situation.
How's Budweiser doing there, Anheuser-Busch?
Where do you even want to start with that conversation?
How are they doing? How are their earnings? Their earnings are not earning. Did you see the ad? Just ask. I saw this ad where the guy is kind of like a country mountaineer type guy, put three or four Budweiser cans up on a tree stump or something, and he took a rifle out and shot them.
That was Kid Rock. He did it with three cases of Bud Light or something. Was it a Kid Rock?
That's, yes.
That blasted the beer?
It's Kid Rock. I'm a cultural illiterate. It was Kid Rock. You're exactly right. I was just wondering how Anheuser's earnings were doing. But
I heard they replaced that with the woman that they had put in charge, that she got replaced last week.
Oh, really? That's okay. Yeah. Anyway, we don't want to mix social policy with the stock market, no. Heaven forbid. But Ken Pulcheri, I thought earnings were supposed to be falling.
Yeah, well, listen, it started with the banks, and we expected the banks to be better, right? That was the expectation. And, in fact, the big money center banks, they all reported nicely. Some of the regionals did struggle. You saw Western Alliance actually moved up on Friday after they reported. I think they gained 2.5%. But then one of the other ones that escapes me at the moment that really got crushed. Oh, Truist. I think Truist Financial got crushed down 6% because, you know, they missed. And so, but that's not necessarily unexpected. We thought the regionals were going to have some issues, and I think that's what we saw. But to Stephanie's point, we are 17% into the earnings. We've got 83% to hear from. And so I still think there's a lot of uncertainty out there. And yes, it's going to be a margin game. So we'll see how it all comes out. I do expect that, we all expect that earnings are going to be down year over year. But unless they're down more than, I think the expectation is what, like 5.5% year over year? Unless they're down significantly more than that, I actually think the market stays in this trading range. Although I do think there's going to be a push a little bit lower first before it finds any more stability.
What happened to Goldman Sachs? They lost money.
That's the wrong business model.
What? Tell me, Stephanie. Why is it? What's the wrong business? Was this retail? They don't know how to do retail.
No, they are all institutional. They're all trading, and they did not diversify when they should have, like Morgan Stanley did, right? Look at Morgan Stanley. E-Trade, Vance, they made M&A over the last several years. They have diversified their business mix so they're not so rate-dependent or capital markets-dependent. Mm. Now, I will say, and I suspect Kenny would agree with me on this, if you think capital markets are kind of troughing, right? Because last year was so horrible. So how could it get any worse, right? So if it's sort of kind of troughing, then as capital markets comes back, and that might not be until the second half of this year, maybe into 2024, Goldman's going to be fine. But in the meantime, what Morgan Stanley has done is they've tried to get through these cyclical up and down, this boom bust stuff. Mm. And they've done a much better job, in my opinion.
What's I got to take a break. What's Kid Rock's investment strategy? Does anybody know? just to come back to that, I'm kind of really interested in that. Anyway, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble. I'm going to get my guests in trouble, and they're both dear friends for many, many years. Stephanie Link, Chief Investment Strategist at Hightower Advisors and Head of Investment Solutions, and Kenny Pulcheri, Managing Partner at Case Capital Advisors, Chief Market Strategist at Slate Stone Wealth.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show.